name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
To your name,
as I perform my vows day after day.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall.
Thank you.
be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the first chapter. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it. And let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity.
It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes.
It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity.
The second reading is from the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, the 22nd chapter. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still be right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies of these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus said, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one,
so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I hope for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from John chapter 17. Jesus prayed, "I do not ask for these only," meaning the disciples, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me." This is our text. On Friday, we celebrated the Ascension of our Lord. It would typically be celebrated on Thursday, 40 days after Easter, but because our special guest, the Reverend Dr. Alexei Streltsov, the president of the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Novosibirsk, Siberia, because he and his wife had a flight issue on Wednesday, we celebrated instead on Friday. In his sermon on Friday, he described the ascension of Christ as a cause for joy for the church. Jesus doesn't leave his church in mourning. He doesn't leave his church like a widow. No, when we celebrate the ascension of our Lord, we are celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ remains present in a new mode, in a new way. He also described how Jesus, when he was ascending, raised his hands in blessing of the disciples. He made the point to say that those hands that Jesus raised in blessing, that blessing still rests on his church today. What is the posture of Jesus toward his church? It is the posture of blessing, of his face shining still on the church. Not glowering down at what he sees happening, but rejoicing in his word and forgiveness that is present still today. He is with us always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father as a man. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. The book of Hebrews calls him our great high priest. The great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Consider what it means to have him as our high priest. That language, I suppose, is a bit foreign to us. But think of it this way. As our high priest, it means that there is one who is like us, who is standing before the throne of the Father. There is one who understands and knows us, who represents us, who can speak on our behalf, and who can speak for the Father to us as well. He is able, it says, to sympathize with our weaknesses. He has even been tempted as we are. I know this one is always difficult to grasp because we believe that he was tempted as we are, but without sin. How that is possible, I cannot say because I know that I have often been tempted, but with sin. So all this adds up to this, that Jesus is not distant or remote or unfeeling. No, our Lord is relatable. He is like us, and he is caring for us still. He understands us and our situation and our needs, and he feels for us. And here's perhaps one of the most beautiful things that we see in the reading today. He also prays for us. What is Jesus doing at the right hand of the Father? He's not twiddling his thumbs. He's not marking time. He's not looking down on us with judgment. No, he is praying for us. We call this type of prayer intercession. He takes our part before the Father in heaven. He pleads our case. You could say, in a sense, just in a very diminished way, that what you see happen here on Sunday morning, when I, as pastor, lead our prayers, is a mirror, a little mirror of what Jesus is doing, as he is always interceding for us, always standing before the Father and praying on our behalf. And we even know what Jesus prays, because we have his high priestly prayer from the night when he was betrayed. His hour had come, so he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he prayed. And you know what he prayed for. Of course he prayed for his disciples. He knew how that very night they were all going to scatter from him and flee. But he also prayed for those who would follow. He prayed for others who would believe through the word of the apostles, which means that he prayed for you. For those who will believe in me through their word. And this is what he prayed. He prayed that they may all be one. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. That they may be one. Jesus prayed for the unity of the church. And we can think of that in terms of simply the congregation here to start with. He prayed that we would be united together. But he prayed then that the Christians here would be united with other Christians, and those Christians would be united with others around the world and through time as well. Our Lord desires the unity of the church. Why? Because when the church is united, it also proclaims the unity of the Father with the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, if we think about being united, and we take simply our own congregation here, we might consider, first of all, what is it that divides us? What is it that may separate us from one another? What is it that may hurt and harm the unity that we have? There are things that do not hurt or harm our unity, that we have different interests in life, that some of us are right-handed and some of us are left-handed. That we do things different ways does not divide us. What does divide us is when we hold different beliefs on the basis of God's word. The unity that Jesus prays for is unity, not that we would be reconciled with diverse understandings of God's word, but that we would be united in and through his word, together with him. In a congregation, of course, the things that create the most difficulty are not only when we have different teachings, different beliefs that may divide us, but also when we treat one another in ways that would hurt or harm. And I would say that for Christians and Christian fellowship, the thing that would be most harmful for us is when we have either situations of lying or of dishonesty among us. It is important for us as Christians to be honest with one another. It is important for us to treat one another with respect, so that we not divide the fellowship or create a disunity where God has given us unity in Christ. It also harms that unity when we speak about one another in ways that are diminishing or harmful or would cut one another down. We must be careful about these things as well. On a broader scale, of course, the things that divide Christians from one another are usually differences in belief. And we cannot simply paper those over. The fact that we believe that baptism actually regenerates and creates faith and new life in Christ, and other Christians believe that it doesn't, is something where we cannot simply hold hands and agree to disagree. We must follow what the scriptures teach. Or with respect to Holy Communion, when we take Jesus seriously, as he says, "This is my body, this is my blood," we cannot agree or claim to be united with those who say that it merely represents his body and his blood. In other words, the unity that we have as Christians is a unity in and around and formed and shaped by God's Word alone. This is why the Word of God is so important. It's why it forms the beating heart and soul of our gatherings every Sunday as we hear readings from often from the Old Testament, from the letters, and from the Gospels. It's why you are encouraged to study the Word together here in our Bible studies on Sundays and weekdays, as well as to take up the Word and read regularly at home. Because there in the Word, we are hearing the voice of our Good Shepherd. We are hearing His voice, and it is His Word that is at work in our hearts and souls and lives to bring us and unite us with other Christians around the truth of what He says. There are things in the Scriptures that are hard to understand, but I would say that the heart and soul of what Jesus wants us to believe is not difficult to understand or to grasp. And it is not unclear to us what Jesus would have us believe, but He makes it very clear in His Word. So we can't simply say, well, you have your interpretation and I have my interpretation, but we must ask, what does the Word say? What does Jesus mean? Or the apostles or the prophets when they speak these things? What makes for unity is the Word of God, and the more that we are together in the Word of God, the more united we will be, and the more distant we are from the Word of God, the less united we will be. And I mean not a fake or surface unity, but a deep and abiding unity. Perhaps you know what it's like when you meet someone who shares a similar interest that you have. Maybe it's a fairly obscure interest. Interest in the history of the Civil War, or interest in how you make a particular widget of some kind. And when you meet someone who knows and understands what you love as well, suddenly you have this unity, this thing that binds you together. So it ought to be for us as Christians in the church, that as we love and hear and live from God's Word, and we meet others who do the same, that it binds us together with a joy and a passion that we have in Christ. Like the unity of the Father and the Son. Jesus said that He prayed for the unity of the church to be like the unity that He has with the Father. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. How closely are the Father and the Son united? They are united in their desires, in their acts, in the things that they carry out in this world. Yes, it is only the Son who dies for us, but it is the Father who sends His Son to die for us. And it is the Spirit who brings us a knowledge of that death of Jesus Christ. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have a deep and abiding unity, and that is the unity that is desired for us as well. Sometimes I think that Christians also allow things that should not be divisive to divide them. We've addressed these things from time to time in the past. We do have different views on various things in life and in the world. And sometimes it can be the case that those things pull Christians apart. In fact, as Pastor Streltsov was talking, and I do not remember, I think this was in the talk on Friday night, his presentation, he talked about how within the Lutheran Church in Siberia, you have a very diverse view on the war between Russia and Ukraine. You have people who are on the Russian side. You have people who are more on the Ukrainian side. You have a lot of people who are in between. And he said it has been a problem such that even has divided Christians from one another. That is not what is most essential. And we can hold passionate and very strong views about these things, recognizing that the unity we have in Christ through His Word and through His gifts is a deeper and more abiding unity. What will last? The war will not go on forever. The struggles and strife of this world will not continue for eternity. The disagreements that we have with one another at times, which may be petty, we'll forget about them a year or 2 years or 5 years from now, but what will go on forever? The word of the Lord endures forever. And Jesus revealed to St. John that beautiful picture of what it will look like in that life of the world to come. In the new heavens and the new earth, where you have this full and complete unity and harmony among all Christians, and I will say this, although there are doctrines that divide us as Christians now, all of that will be resolved by Christ in the life of the world to come. The truth will be fully made clear. And there will not be in heaven a section for Lutherans and a section for Catholics and a section for Baptists, but there will be one Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, and one church gathered around him. And that's what we're doing right here, right now. Enjoying that unity that we have around the altar of our Lord and around the gifts of Christ, and most of all, the unity that we have, not in the rightness of our faith, but in the forgiveness of our sins. What is it that unites us most of all? It is not the holiness of our lives, the righteousness of everything we do, the perfect understanding of God's word. What unites us most of all is the forgiveness of sins that God gives us out of his love for us. This is how we gather, as brothers and sisters whose sins have been covered by the blood of the Lamb, so that we have unity that flows from him. This is the great and precious gift that Christ gives to his church this day, the gift of unity in his forgiveness, the gift of unity around his word, and the gift of unity that we see realized here in the Holy Communion. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf, united to our risen and ascended Lord, and in that way united to the whole church throughout time and space, to the Christians in Siberia and in Italy, and those who have died in Christ who are with him in heaven, one church with one shepherd who is Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they would turn from their evil ways and live. Judas went his own way unto damnation. We beg you to call back to yourself those who have strayed from among us and to give us joy to welcome them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you desire your church on earth to be one. Grant unity in doctrine, in witness, and at your holy table. Guide especially our New England district as we prepare to meet in convention, that your name might be hallowed, your kingdom come, and your will done among us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, thank you for sending workers into the harvest field. We pray that you would grant your gifts to the Reverend Lorenzo Morone and the Reverend Joshua Salas, newly ordained into the office of the Holy Ministry in the Confessional Lutheran Church in Italy. Bless as well Michael and Nancy Jane, our brother and sister, in their service to the church throughout Eurasia. Let the gospel of Jesus Christ go forth in boldness and joy. Lord, in your mercy. King of kings and Lord of lords, the nations rage in this world, but you promise to bring peace through the ministry of your church. By the proclamation of the gospel, grant healing for the ravages of war, grace in place of vengeance, and life in place of death. Help us to lead quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness. Watch over all people in their callings, but especially Rachel and all expectant mothers. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, we pray for our high school graduates, Lars and Valerie, that the Holy Spirit would continue to guide them in the truth, which is Jesus, and that the Lord would bless them in their ventures, help them to do the work set before them with diligence and joy in service of others, and provide them with good friends and godly relationships. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you graciously provide us with daily bread to sustain this body and life. Give us joy as we bring the fruits of our labors and the tithes and offerings. Use these gifts so that the church may not lack for resources to accomplish your purpose, nor the poor suffer need because of our indifference to their plight. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you give us endurance for the race set before us. Grant that we may run the course you have given us in faith. According to your goodwill, give healing to the sick, relief to the suffering, comfort to the grieving, and peace to the dying. We especially bring before you John for healing, relief, and return home from the hospital. George and Carol for peace in your presence. Bill with thanksgiving for his surgery and patients awaiting the biopsy. Tom with thanksgiving for hearing our prayers and granting healing from his cancer. Richard, for your help in every time of need. We also pray for Dave, Alicia, Gwen, Rick, and Carol. Strengthen them in weakness and grant patience in their trials. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, you have instituted and given your sacrament for the faithful to receive the very body and blood of your Son for their forgiveness, life, and salvation. Grant us all pure hearts to receive this gift worthily. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples, and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm today is Psalm 47, starting at the first verse. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of his trumpet. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with the loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared. Great King all over the earth. He subdued peoples under us, the nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, who he loves. God has gone up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our God. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a song. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of God, of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. God has gone up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of the trumpet.
Thank you.
enlightenment and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
And wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. To you who sit on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be